Well, we're going to continue engaging God, and I share this every week, but I share it because I want you to know what we're doing, and this sort of drip feeds into the reality that we can discover the spiritual realms of heaven and in ourselves, and we can engage God there. And if we don't engage God, and that's exactly what Joe was just sharing, we engage God in the presence that came through a prayer, that came through what was on the inside of him, and it's an actual reality. This stuff works. All our testimonies and the things that we give are a result of the presence of God in our lives, and how do we engage with that personally and in reality, because that's what it is. So we're going to follow this pathway of relationship and responsibility so we can go deeper and deeper into these things. We're looking at first love, this module about engaging God in our spirit, and that's really what this whole thing is about. God is on the inside of us. We are a house of God. We can engage in first love, and the river of life that comes out of heaven is within us, and we can engage with it. So we looked at living water, engaging the different rivers, and today we're going to look at engaging the Holy Spirit himself. So the river of the Holy Spirit is our source. It's our source for eternal, everlasting life, love, peace, joy, grace, mercy, faith, power, gifts, guidance. Everything you need is in that source. And that source flows from the very throne of God and who God is into us. And all of them can be accessed. All those abilities, all those characteristics can be accessed by our desire for intimacy and destiny. If we're not bothered, then we're not going to receive an awful lot. Whatever you sow, you reap, multiplied back. So the more we engage with the Holy Spirit and with the river of life, the more that river is going to flow in us, and the more that river is going to flow out of us, and we will be able to outwork the purposes of God for our lives. The three baptisms in the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Father, is engaging this river, Holy Spirit, bringing us into righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus into the way, truth, and life. Father, judgment, justice, holiness. It's like we're clothed or skinned with the very armor of God, the armor of light, the armor of righteousness, and the full armor of God. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. Now, this is the only way this works. If God isn't your salvation, then something else is. And I guarantee that that something else will not match to whatever God does, whether it's ourselves or anything else. This is because I will trust and not be afraid. So when God is my salvation, I can trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And I love that description. That's really what we're doing. So first love is an up-close personal relational encounter with God himself inside us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father. So we can get to know them personally and intimately and actually really know them, not just read about them in the book or have other people's testimonies of our engagement, but our personal testimony of a daily relationship, knowing God personally and intimately. So we can know the frequencies, the very vibrations that we feel when they're around us, the fragrances, the character and personality of each, of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit. So we're really looking at this river and its engagement with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And the God, the Spirit, is the river, and we can encounter him in the river, and he can flow through us as rivers to the world around us, so that the world will not be a barren, dry place, but will be watered with life. Because that's what God wants us to be, carriers of his life. Those that express his life, his nature, his character, who he is, to the world around us, so that world will know what it is to engage the love of God, and that joy and that peace that's possible, the forgiveness and the healing and everything that comes in our salvation, the world can know, but we are the ones who are the channels of that. He's chosen us to be channels of his love and mercy, so we need to let it flow. We need to get to know him. We need to ask him to reveal himself to us. We need to know him daily in personal, intimate encounters. It's not something you do once when you got saved or when you got baptized in water or baptized in the Spirit. This is a daily relationship. Now, there are many symbols that represent the Holy Spirit's presence. And when we engage him, you may engage different symbols of that. We've looked at this, but we'll just look at it again, just to remind ourselves. Water, so a river of living, eternal water, a dove, peace and a comforter, the wind, the very breath of life, wine, the joy of the Lord, our strength, oil, the anointing of our healer, fire, purifying righteousness, light, the revelation and teacher, the cloud, that which guides us as we follow him. So he expresses the supernatural abilities and character to us in the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we receive. He is a revealer of the true awe and wonder of creation, very life itself. And I hope this is what we'll be able to discover. There is so much more than we've ever imagined or thought to discover in God and who he is, and in his creation, and in the order of creation that we can engage in. He is an unveiler of the mysteries of God. There are more mysteries to be unveiled than have been already unveiled. Many, many, many more. Some of those things you can't describe right now. They're so mysterious that we haven't got words to describe them. But they're real, and when the revelation comes, it will reveal them. And I think if you think of bringing someone from the year 1700 and plonking them into today, and showing them a cell phone or a TV screen or a car or an airplane or any number of things, even though you would tell them the words, they would have no understanding of what that words meant because they've not encountered it and therefore not experienced it. But that is what it's like with the things that God is yet to reveal. Is there are so many things that we're going to experience that he is going to unveil those mysteries to us. And it's like Paul said, there are things that are inexpressible. Those things are going to become expressible in our day because the mysteries of God hidden in darkness are going to be brought into the light so that the sons of God can manifest that light. And that will be technology, but also supernatural abilities and other things. Now God, this Holy Spirit, is the breath of life, the wind of heaven, our spiritual oxygen. You know, you cannot live without oxygen. So we need to draw from the life of God to give us that supernatural daily expression of heaven. So we can engage the Holy Spirit as a person. He's not a force or a cosmic consciousness, as some would say. He is a person. He's not simply an influence, an impersonal force that emanates from God. He is a person. And we can know him, feel him, sense his character, the very essence of who he is, as we get up close and personal. As we engage with him, not just as someone who gives us power, although he does give us power, but as someone who is a person who wants to be so close to us as our guide and those who comfort us. The Holy Spirit is a person with personal characteristics. We'll just skip through a few of them. The Holy Spirit speaks. He spoke and gave direction to Philip, Acts 8:29. The Holy Spirit teaches. John 14:26, he was to teach the apostles all things. The Holy Spirit bears witness. He was to testify of Jesus. John 15:26-27. The Holy Spirit guides, hears, speaks, and tells. He would carry on and complete the work that Jesus did while he was here on the earth. John 16:12-13. The Holy Spirit forbids. He prevented Paul and his companions to go into certain places in Asia. Acts 16:6-7. Holy Spirit intercedes. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Romans 8:26. Holy Spirit has a mind. Romans 8:27. The mind of the Spirit. He has knowledge. He knows all things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:11. He professes affection, the love of the Spirit. Romans 15:30. Holy Spirit has a will. Same Spirit works all things, distributing each one individually as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11. He can be grieved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30. And we really don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. because the flow of everything we've been talking about will stop if we grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be insulted. Insulting the Spirit of grace, Hebrews 10:29. How? Hebrews 10:26. This is done by sinning willfully, choosing to follow the pathway of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the pathway of life. He can be lied to. Ananias and his wife Sapphira were guilty of doing that. Why has Satan filled your hearts to lie to the Holy Spirit? Acts 5:3. It's not something we want to do. Holy Spirit can be resisted. They did this by resisting the message, persecuting the messengers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, Acts 7, 52-53. Again, not something that I would encourage you to do, to resist the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not our spirit that resists, it's often our soul, because our soul has been used to doing things and our body's been used to doing things independently. Now we come to a place of surrender, we have to yield, obey, worship. Holy Spirit gives testimony. John 15:26, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. Jesus points us to the Father. The Father sends the Spirit. They are together in oneness and unity. So the Counselor or Helper in Greek is the word parakletos. The definition is summoned, called to one's side, called to one's aid. And that's what God does. He sends the Holy Spirit to come alongside us, as well as to come in us. One who pleads another's cause before a judge, a pleader, counsel for the defense, legal assistant, advocate, intercessor. Counselor, helper, aid or assistant, comforter. All different descriptions of that word. But God sends his Spirit to us to help equip us, teach us, and guide us. John 14:16-17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, that is the Spirit of truth. And we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and it's the Holy Spirit who unveils that truth to us, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. This is what Jesus was prophesying was going to take place to the disciples. The Holy Spirit would be in them because he was abiding with them. John 14:26, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. So if we want to be taught of God, if we want to know those mysteries, then he can teach us. And he will remind you of everything I said to you. Now, widen this out of the box of just the words we have in the Bible, and this will be all the things that God will have spoken about us and to us, everything prophesied about us. From his eternal counsel, the Holy Spirit can reveal to us. And that's a really good place to be, in a place where the Holy Spirit reveals the things that God says. John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Many people are afraid of being led astray and being deceived. When we have a personal, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, we don't need to be afraid. He will guide us into all truth. You know, all truth comes from God. From whatever source you might find it in the world, its source is from God. The problem is, a lot of people have taken that truth and made different conclusions and outcomes to what it really means and have perverted it. But it doesn't mean that the source of truth doesn't come from God. We just have to be careful about the outcomes. So chew the grapes and spit out the pips, because there's truth to be found in many sources, not just the Bible, but we have to make sure that the witness of the Spirit reveals that truth to us. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So if you need to know what's coming, if you need revelation prophetically for your life, your destiny, guess who to get up close and personal with? The Holy Spirit. He's going to show you what is to come in your life, from what has already been agreed in eternity, what is yet to be outworked. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So those mysteries that belong to God will be revealed to us, made known to us by personal experience. The Holy Spirit reveals, 1 Corinthians 2:10, that God, who has revealed it to us by his Spirit, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Deep calls to deep. So when our Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes together, it's always going to call us deeper, to go deeper into the knowledge of God, deeper into who he is, deeper into his realms in heaven, because our Spirit will draw us as we're joined to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us of where to go and shows us what to do. Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if we want to come into our full sonship of who we are, then we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is our source, he will help us how to walk, how to live, where to go. He will direct our path. So we can walk in the fruit of the character of the Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy. We can walk in supernatural power. John 15:10-12, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. And this is the key change from being a good steward of doing things for God, from becoming a friend and doing things with God in relationship. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. How? Through the Spirit of truth will reveal those things to us when we get to know him. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. Friendship, intimacy, revelation. We can be baptized in the river of the Spirit, Luke 24:49, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, for you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Clothed with, empowered, gifted, and equipped by the Holy Spirit. If you're struggling to do what God's calling you to do, who do you go to? That person who is going to equip you. So equipped as sons by the Spirit. So that means the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. The gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. Ministries of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14. Redemptive gifts, Romans 12. Fivefold ministry gifts, Ephesians 4. Seven spirits of God, Isaiah 11. You know, I could spend a session on each one of them, but I'd encourage you to seek that out for yourself. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. The gifts of the Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, tongues, interpretation, ministries, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, administrators, tongues, redemptive gifts, prophet, servant, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, mercy. Seven spirits, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of strength, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Offices of the old order, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherds, teachers. Offices of the new heavenly order of Melchizedek, king, priest, oracle, scribe, legislator. Now, there's a whole lot there. Again, that would take me a long time to go through, but we've gone through this before. In previous teaching series, we've gone through different aspects of this. I'd encourage you, press into all this. This is what belongs to you. This is what God wants to reveal to you, who you are, and his equipping, so that you can outwork that in your daily life, within your calling, within your governmental spheres, within the mountains that you operate. All this stuff is available to you in the person of the Holy Spirit and in that relationship. So John 4:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. So there are things that we do to point to the fact that we have this relationship of intimacy where the Father and the Spirit and Jesus is in us and we're in them. John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than he will do, because I go to the Father. And when he went to the Father, he received a place of authority that then enabled him to release the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will equip us and enable us to do the supernatural works of Jesus and even greater things. Now, those are some of the mysteries that are going to be revealed, some of the greater things that we're called to do. And it's not just being earthbound. It's having roles to play in the very kingdom and the rulership of God in the realms of heaven. So what are some of those things? Miracles, healings, deliverance, raising the dead. Well, those are the basic things that we know that Jesus said we can do. Preach, heal, deliver. Transforming matter and multiplying matter. You know, Jesus did that. He wants to equip us to do it. Turning water into wine is about turning stones into gold. Anyone want any gold? People have been seeking to do that, called alchemy, for many, many years. Actually, if God can turn water into wine, then he can give you the ability to turn anything into anything else and to multiply that. So you might have a few pound notes or £5 notes or £10 notes or dollars or whatever you use, and it's about multiplying them. Why would you want to do that? So that he can equip you to do everything you need to do. Authority over the weather and natural world. Walking on water, levitating, things he did. Those are some of the things that we can be equipped by the Holy Spirit to do. Invisibility and passing through matter. Think, why do I need to do that? Well, you may not need to do it right now, but there may be coming a time when you do need to do it. It happened to Jesus. He wants to equip us to do the same things. Knowing people's thoughts and intentions, something Jesus could do. Living in the dual realms of heaven and earth, accessing the courts of heaven, the judicial system, the angels who are there to minister to him, they're all there to minister to us when we learn to live in those dual realms. So we can be here, body and soul, and we can be their spirit, and we can be completely one. And God wants to equip us. These are some of the things that God would have us do, some of the works that Jesus did, and I haven't even touched on any of the greater works. But there are, for us as sons, as joint heirs with Christ, greater works within his created order for us to do. So let's follow the journey that Jesus had with the Holy Spirit through the book of Luke. Luke 1:35. The angel answered and said to her, this is Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The same description of what happened when the Spirit of God hovered over the waters in Genesis 1. He brought order and brought things together into life. So Jesus was birthed from the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:21. And for some of you who are going to go through baptism next week, this is what happened to Jesus, and this is what can happen to you. When all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased." That is what can happen when we engage with the Holy Spirit. After that, Luke 4:1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. So being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can be led by the Spirit, and sometimes that may be to places we may not want to go, but are important for our journey so that we can grow. No one wants the wilderness, but the wilderness was where Jesus overcame the enemy, and the enemy fell, as lightning it's described, because his power was broken, so Jesus defeated the enemy in the wilderness, overcome him with the word of God. Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So he was full of the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, now he was filled with the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding regions. Why? Because he started to do things that no one else was doing, in the power of the Spirit. Luke 5:17, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. That same power can be present in us if we allow it to flow through us. Luke 6:19, all the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them. All. Would you want that? You want people to come up and touch you and just be healed? Why not? But we need to have the Holy Spirit flowing through us for that to take place. Luke 8:46, and Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me. Luke 9:1, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. What power did he give them? The power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Here is a promise of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives if we know him and allow him to rule and lead us. Luke 21:27. Now we're going from the what was when Jesus was here on earth to what was going to be when Jesus went back in heaven. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This is what happened at the ascension. Luke 22:69, and from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. This is where he is now, and this is where he calls us to be seated with him in the heavenly places. Luke 24:49, this is what, as a result of him being on the throne, what was able to take place. I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. You're going to be clothed with power from on high. So this is the prophetic description of this that we see in Daniel. Daniel 7:9, I kept looking until thrones were set up. Not just one throne, but thrones. A throne for Jesus and a throne for all the sons of God. You and me. A throne in heaven assigned to us because of Jesus receiving the kingdom. And the Ancient of Days, the Father, took his seat. His vesture was like snow, hair and head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. Verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And this is the prophetic outworking, what we see in Luke. And he came up in the Ancient of Days and presented before him. Verse 14, to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, us. And this time arrived when saints took possession of the kingdom. This is what we're doing right now, taking possession of our inheritance as sons of God in the authority of the kingdom of God in his power. Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God will display strength and do great exploits. That's what we can get when we're engaged and knowing the Holy Spirit. We can do great exploits. The people who know their God are the sons of God. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Daniel 12:3 is a description of what it will be when we take our places within the kingdom. Those who have insight, where do we get insight? From the Holy Spirit, will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. Those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words, seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. This book has been unsealed in our day, in our time, so that we can take our place as sons of God in the heavens and manifest that on the earth. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, this is the Holy Spirit, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So the life that's in you will bring actual life to your very mortal bodies, which is why we don't need to die. We can live forever, which is why we take communion, why we apply this truth to our bodies to be restored and made whole. The very power of resurrection life is found in the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We've just been limited to what we can receive. Now God is unveiling what actually is part of our inheritance so that we can receive it. Romans 8:15, you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. by which we cry out, Abba Father, Daddy. Because we are brought into intimacy with our Father. And then we can be sons. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. If you need to know who you are, your identity as a son of God is the Holy Spirit we need to engage with. Verse 17, Romans 8. If children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs or joint heirs or co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. Yes, we need to change and be transformed, but this is God's intention that we would be those that radiate his glory as joint heirs with Christ in the kingdom. Because something is waiting for us. The whole of the created order is waiting for us. Romans 8, 19. The anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Us, his people, being revealed on the earth as sons in radiated glory. Romans 8, 20. For creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. This is why we need to understand and know the Holy Spirit, because he's going to bring us into the revelation and the experience of what it is to be the freedom of the glory of the children of God, to live in freedom and to manifest glory. The Holy Spirit, enthroned in our spirit, will lead and direct us to walk in his ways. The Holy Spirit will give us guidance, direction, and resources. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be sons and equips us as overcomers to have dominion, to rule, to govern. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. This is what this engagement with the Holy Spirit on the inside is designed to do. To bring us into oneness. We need to be joined in intimacy, to be in relational oneness, so that oneness can flow through our spirit gates, body gates, soul gates, out to the world, so that can focus the very power of God, that vibrational energy that hovered over the waters, that overshadowed Mary, can overshadow us. Through our words and our touch, that power can touch the world around us. But we need to behold and become like him so that we can come close to him. We need to be transformed and restored through heart to heart, that whole cardiogenesis process, being up close to him, so that my spirit can be connected to the flow of heaven, so that my heart can be subdued and tended and cultivated to be like Eden. But everything starts with first love. So in relationship, I can be a representation of the four faces of God on the earth as it is in heaven. I need to embrace first love. I need to embrace the Holy Spirit. I need to embrace Jesus. I need to embrace the Father. So in him, we are joined. He's in us. We're joined. And yet we're still us. How does this work? It's a mystery. But here's a description I found on the internet this week from someone who posted it. Just as the sponge lies in the water, and the water fills the sponge, but the water is not the sponge, and the sponge is not the water, they remain different, so my children abide in me and I in them. Let's be sponges that soak up the river of life and let that river flow. So let's engage that now as we look to just engage the Holy Spirit. Just bring yourself to that place of peace so we can engage this river of life, be connected through it, joined in one spirit. Let's get up close personal with the Holy Spirit today. Now, I believe God wants to release something to you today which will untether you from being earthbound. It's great engaging God within our own spirit, but that's just the beginning. He wants to take you outside of that into the realms of his kingdom, into the realms of heaven. So if you allow him, he will untether you from being bound to the earth. He will release you to be unlimited. He will take you out into the creativity of the universe. He will take you flying into the new realms of creative experience, literally. I love flying with the Holy Spirit. Takes you by the hand and leads you out into things you've never seen and never been before. And I believe he wants to do that for us today. He will equip you and empower you today to do the works of Jesus. So let's see. The windows of heaven are open. Rivers are flowing down here. That river of life cascading down out of heaven, actually being focused in our spirit. But it's all behind the door. So think of the door. That door is into that realm of the kingdom in your spirit. The handle is on your side. I'd encourage you to see Jesus knocking and just close your eyes now. Just begin to think about that door. Just activate your imagination as the doorway to that encounter. Just encourage you, just picture that door. Just open the door, reach out by faith, by choice, in your own mind, choose to reach out, open the door. And as you open that door, the river will begin to flow through. God himself will just come through that door and just begin to come around you, to envelop you with his presence. I just want to encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit personally to embrace you. Invite him to reveal himself to you. Just make that choice. Let him surround you and join with you. Feel him, feel his light, his vibration, his frequency. Just let that energize you, strengthen you, encourage you. Just feel his touch in your whole being. Just feel the restoration, the renewal of your life. Feel his presence, his peace. Let that peace just rest on you like that dove. Just let that peace fill you. Breathe deeply of that peace. Just feel his joy. That joy bubbling up on the inside of you. That effervescence, abundant, overflowing well-being. The joy of the Lord, your strength and well-being. Just feel it. Just let him reveal himself to you. Let Let him reveal the very thoughts and words of God spoken of you. Let him bring them to your remembrance. Just allow him to speak his thoughts in your mind. Let him fill you with his wisdom and just let him empower you. Let him overshadow you. Let him release those supernatural gifts and abilities so that they come upon you right now. Just feel that life and the power and authority of the Spirit, that you will have power within you to release miracles and healing, that power can flow through you to touch the world around you. Just receive that empowerment, that equipping, that strengthening. This is all over you, overshadowing you right now. Just want to stay in that place of receiving, being overshadowed. Or you may want to just allow him to release you from the limits of your own mind, from the limits of your past experience. Just let him untether you from your being earthbound, so he can take you out into the creativity of the universe, so he can take you flying free into those new realms of creative experience. Believe he's going to open a heavenly portal for you right now, to take you into a new dimension of experience with him. So just activate your imagination. Just begin to focus on that doorway, that portal. To a whole new creative encounter with God. Just let the Holy Spirit take you by the hand. Lead you through that portal so that you're untethered, free to fly in the realms of heaven. Just let yourself go. Be free. Take some of you out into the stars. It's going to take you beyond where you've been before. It's going to release you into new experiences. going to take you deeper into the realms of heaven. Just prepare your hearts and your spirits just to come back into this realm. This is not a one-off experience. This is something you can do every day. As you open your first love gate, as he takes you deeper into that river, let it become a lifestyle of an adventure and discovery, of empowerment to who you are as sons of God. Amen.